Hey guys, welcome to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. Hopefully you guys are all well, kicking ass, doing you, and not giving a fuck about it. I know I am, but at the same time, I am ready for this weekend to come. Last weekend was too short, too fast, had me all over the place. I don't know if you guys have been hearing all this talk about this huge wave of energy that's taking over the earth. A good majority of my friends are into energy work, and they talk about energy sometimes, but it could be a little bit woo-woo and a little bit out there for me, but you know what? I'm actually believing what they're saying this time around, and it is affecting the living shit out of me. They are saying that this huge wave of energy is causing people to feel low energy, kind of sore, achy, not wanting to do anything, staying in bed, just wanting to be comfortable. I know that's exactly the way that I was feeling last week and been feeling for the last 3 weeks. I'm not trying to use it as an excuse or have it manipulate my mind into thinking that way, but that's exactly what I did this weekend. I stayed in bed, not to sleep, but just to be comfortable. I did my readings out of my bed. I had a shitload of readings come in this weekend. Also worked on the show, did, you know, thought of concepts for the show, went over all those great emails that I'm receiving, trying to tie those into one big badass episode, but really worked out of bed because I didn't have the energy to get up and do anything. I finally made myself get up on Sunday to get up to go have dinner with Jay, his sister, and her boyfriend. Had a really good time doing that, but that's the only time that I actually left the house to do anything. Everything was done in my bed, just in the comfort of my own home. This weekend, I plan to take full advantage of that. I know I'm going to see Bruna this Sunday. We're going to be doing work on vision boards, and you guys know I'm all about manifestation and intention, and what better person to do this work with than Bruna? And also Nikki's going to be there, so that's a double fucking whammy for me. So you know the energy is going to be kicking, it's going to be intense. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, this wave of energy has me fucked up. But to be honest, aside from the wave of energy, I am feeling like it is lifting. I started feeling that last night a little bit, towards like I'd say around 2 in the morning. I woke up and started feeling a little bit more energized. I wasn't tired. I actually wanted to get up and start walking around. I know it sounds crazy. I was going to ask Jay, do you want to get up and go to the gym and blow off some steam? At 2 in the fucking morning, that's how much energy I had. But yeah, I am feeling a little bit back to normal. Still feeling a little bit out of it body-wise, but mentally, I am sharp as fuck. That leads me to last week's episode. I am so sorry that I gave you guys 39 minutes. To be honest, and in all actuality, that episode was an hour and 13, condensed down to 39 minutes. My demon got the better of me on that episode. I know I talk shit about it, saying that I have to suppress it, but this time I really did. I was not, please you guys, I don't want you to think that I'm coming across as being bitter or a hater when I'm talking shit about people, and I'm not talking shit about them to start bullshit up. I'm just calling them out on their shit. I am simply saying what people want to say and what they're thinking about these people. I went a little too hardcore when it came to that episode. I was talking mad shit. My demon really, really got a hold of those people and went deep into their insecurities and their fears, and I was calling people out. It was too much. I did not want to release it. It did sound hateful. It did sound like I was coming from a bad place, and I had to condense it. So that's why you got 39 minutes. Again, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to be manipulative. I don't want to come across as being a bully. But again, you are saying that you're spiritual. You are saying that you're metaphysical. You're saying that you are positive and all this stuff. I am calling you out on your bullshit because that's not what I see and that's not what the public sees. It's all an act. It's all an image. It's all aesthetics. And that's what I was doing, was calling it out. You guys know that I've never been a follower. I hate when people follow each other. I hate the monkey see, monkey do type of mentality, or the mean girls mentality. People following suit with one another and just, you know, being robots and being a clique without any individuality, without having a mind of your own. Wake up, people. All I really want to do is to wake people up. Wake people up in a way to realize that they are an individual. They are their own person. They have their own unique way of thinking. They have their own unique abilities, skills, and traits that they bring to the table, not as a collective, not as society, not as a group, but on your own. Take a look at it real quick. There are never any ads for people being an individual. There's never ads about you being a person or taking the steps that you need to on your own. A good majority of the commercials that we're listening to are as a whole, as a collective, as society. Try this new diet plan. They're trying to get it to be based on an individual, but in all actuality and realistically, that is to get you to feel better, to fit in with society, so you are not outcasted for being different than they are. Same thing with all these people that are getting face work done. They all look the same. the same lips, the same nose, the same cheeks, just different color of skin, and even that varies, and different hairstyles. There is no authenticity. There is no originality. It's always the same thing. I want to wake people up to the idea to zigzag out of formation, that you don't have to follow suit or follow the person in front of you, that you have your own mind, your own way of thinking. That's all that I want to do, is wake people up, not in a hateful way, not in a bitter way, not in a bitchy way, not in a cunty way, but in a realistic, raw, direct, practical, and logical approach. You are your own person. That's all that I want to do here. I am not somebody that has a veil over their eyes or that is hypnotized into the same bullshit that everybody else is. I am a free thinker, and I pride myself on that. Do I want to wake everybody up? Absolutely. Is everybody going to wake up? No. But those of you that want to wake up are the ones that reach out and the ones that I love to work with. So I'm going to give you millennials credit on today's episode, because you guys are actually killing it and you guys crack me up. Your guys' way of thinking is so advanced, but you guys lack emotion. That is the only thing that I would love to fix about you guys. If we can work on that and we can get you to feel who you are and tap into yourself and bring that part out of you, and you guys would be unstoppable. Your guys' minds are sharp as fuck. A lot of you guys, and I'm always talking shit about you guys when I give you readings, I'm always saying, God damn it, I wish I was that far in my way of thinking at your age. I'm talking to people that are within the ages of like 21 all the way up to like 35. That a good majority of that is millennial, but these youngsters are really wanting to dive into themselves. They're really wanting to figure out who they are at a young age, and I'm loving it. So again, a good majority of my clients are millennials. They are coming to me. They're not sure why they're reaching out to a psychic, and I always tell them, you keep forgetting, you have a soul, you have an essence, you have that part in front of you that is not flesh and blood, that does not operate in the material world. It operates in the spiritual world. It operates from the real core of who you are here. You keep forgetting that. You distract yourself and you delude yourself with materialistic type things, that it distracts you from getting to you. And that's exactly what the powers that be want you to do, is to distract you from thinking about yourself and thinking as an individual. But so many of you fuckers are waking up, and I'm loving it. Again, going back to the readings, you guys are asking, how do I get in touch with myself? And I'm always telling you guys, and you guys can speak up on this too, I can't, and I don't give a fuck what any other psychic, medium, metaphysical person tells you. I can't tell you how to utilize your ability. I cannot tell you how to truly tap into yourself. I can give you techniques based on who you are psychically, but that has to be you to tap in, put the key in that lock, and turn it and unlock who you are. I can't do that. I can tell you again what I see about you and give you again a couple of pointers, but the rest is up to you. Same thing. I can't tell you how to utilize this ability when you unleash it. We can talk about it. You can tell me what you're feeling, and I can guide you, but it is up to you. And I never claim to tell people what to do with their lives or how they should live their lives here. I am telling you, do what is best for you. A lot of the wheels are starting to spin, and people are starting to realize, I'm not in high school anymore. I'm not a kid anymore. I don't have to listen to what so-and-so says anymore, that I'm actually free. People don't realize that you are free. So the you know, school years, you know, from elementary, middle school, high school, and even college, it's so hardcore. There's so many people that are looking at us, so many people that we have to try to stay in line with. At the end of the day, if you think about it, they're just background. It's just scenery there. They have no real control over you or your way of thinking. Step out of that zone and do you. Don't be afraid to unlock the true you, your true essence, your true presence. All I want you to do is practice what you preach, be in control of who you are, truly in control of who you are, and not following people that are stamping spirituality over materialistic shit and trying to get you to conform to their way of thinking or a society as a whole here. Because again, at the end of the day, we are individuals, and that's my job. And that's what I feel like I need to do here, is to wake people up and realize who they are and what they came here to do as an individual. That is it. Moving on to the next topic. So I mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, this huge wave of energy that's taking over the earth that everybody is talking about. And again, I'm being funny with it, but I am definitely feeling it. And I was talking to my good friend Lynn, and she was breaking this energy wave down to me. And I was telling her, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I've been reliving shit that has happened to me since I was a kid. And I am talking really, really young. Like, all these memories started flooding in. I started to pick up memories that I had when I was 2 years old. I know that sounds crazy. People are like, there's no way you could remember being 2 years old. I do, and I remember it vividly. All of a sudden, it came in about a week ago. I actually called my dad to verify whether or not this was true. I kept having dreams of this old house and the scenery of it and what it looked like. I remember it being in Palmdale. That's where we lived at. And remembered there was a storm shed or a storm cellar, the ones that... kind of like the one that was on Wizard of Oz with the big ass doors that you walk down into like the basement right there. I remember seeing one of those. I remember this huge propane tank that was in the front yard, and remembered my two dogs that I had and the way that the house was laid out. And it was really starting to bother me. And I watched that fucking movie. I posted about it too, The Terrifier. That movie is, okay, I know a lot of people think it's disgusting. I kind of like it. It's very gory. It's kind of like the Saw. He's doing like really crazy things to people and also disgusting things like shitting all over the bathroom, and they show it. And just the way that he kills people is very vulgar and just ugh. But there was one scene where he, for those of you that don't want to hear the gore, turn the radio down for like 20 seconds. Well, there's one part on there where he takes the flesh off of this woman and even scalps her, and he puts the flesh on him. So it makes him look like a woman. He's got her tits on. He's got her hair on as a wig, like her scalp. And he's chasing this woman around, and she hides in the closet or this little locker or something. And she's able to see him through this little hole in the locker. And he's walking up, and he kind of looks like Marilyn Manson in his video Sweet Dreams, where it's all like weird and creepy. That's how he's walking towards the closet. And all of a sudden, I got a flashback to when I was a kid. And I don't know, he didn't look exactly like the Terrifier and what he was wearing, but very similar. What I remembered as a kid was this demon, and I'm going to say demon because that's what it was, having like this really white face and a black mouth. Like he was wearing black lipstick, but his tongue was black, and it looked like black shit was dripping out of its mouth. And his eyes, like all the way around, looked like he was wearing hardcore eyeliner, like in the circle. So his eyes were really black and really dark, but he had this really, I would say shoulder length, messed up jet black hair, and he was really skinny. And the way that he came across was trying to pretend to be a clown, just like the Terrifier. That's why I made the connection. I'm not imagining this. I'm not making it up. And I started flashing back, and I was asking my guides, well, what's the significance of this? And they started bringing out the medium side of me and talking about, this is going to intensify a little bit more. We're going to bring out the medium side of you. You're going to tap into different realms this time around, but we need you to remember this. It's important to you as you start to move along here. And I was like, okay, what's the significance of it? They were like, you don't remember what had happened during this age. You were really young. And they started showing me what took place there. And I remember being in this room, and it was a small room. I don't even know if there was a bed in there, but I remember my toys being in there, and I was playing with my toys, and I remember my guides talking to me and asking about my toys and talking to me and telling me to put the music on. If it's one thing that I did well, it was learn how to work the record player in the stereo. That's what I was about. I'm a Taurus. I'm into music. So even as a young kid, I was into music, and that's what I would do at the age of 2, my dad would say, was sit in that fucking room, listen to music, and talk to myself. And my dad during those times was getting stoned, getting drunk. That's when he was into alcohol and was really not in a good place. But I loved him, felt connected to him. I didn't give a fuck about what was going on with him. I saw him for who he was and his heart and his soul and his essence. And I was attracted to that. And all I wanted to do was be around him as a kid. I knew that he was going through bad times, but I felt sorry for him because it's kind of like that song, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. I don't know if you guys heard that song. It's been remade so many times, but that song is the soundtrack that I play in my head when I think of my dad, because he is so misunderstood. And during that time, he was misunderstood. He was going through some bullshit, and it was just him and I in the house. And he said that he would check on me, and that he would hear, because he would hear me talking to somebody. And it tripped him out because while I was talking to this person, I was waiting for the responses to come back, and I was answering according to what I was being asked. And my dad would walk in and say, who are you talking to? And he said that I would scare the shit out of him because I would look at him like, get out of here, like you're bothering me. And so he would say, okay, go do you, and just kind of close the door. But going back to this demon, my guys were playing out the scenario about what was going on. And I remember there was this demon in there that tried to pretend to be a clown. It was so scary, and I remember him kind of sitting in front of me. He was sitting on his knees, almost like a little kid, and he was making these clown-like faces, like making really big eyes and opening his mouth really big, trying to get my attention, trying to touch my leg while I was playing with my toys. And I remember my guide stepping in and saying, don't talk to it. Don't tell it your name. Don't look at it. It's just here to bother you. It is a bad person. Don't talk to it. And this thing could have, I'm pretty sure it could have like jumped into my soul or, you know, possessed me or, you know, scratched me or did whatever it did. It didn't. it just sat there and tried to get my attention. And I remember it. And I remember one conversation that I had with it. And I'm remembering this right now as I'm speaking to it. I hope you guys don't think I'm crazy, but I remember telling it, they told me not to talk to you, that you're bad. And that thing said, I'm not bad. I just want to play with you. That's what I remember from that conversation. Those are the memories that keep flooding. And I also remember my grandmother at that time, and my dad actually confirmed it, which is his mother. I mentioned her on a couple episodes back, talking about that we don't really have a good connection now that I'm older. But apparently, while I was a kid, all I wanted to do was be around her. And my dad had said that I was the only one allowed to go into my grandmother's room that could interrupt her while she was sleeping and spend hours in there. And when my dad would walk in, my grandma would look at him the same way that I would look at him, like, get out, we're having a good time. And so I guess I was close to her. I actually, you know, kind of made me feel sad, because I would love nothing more than to be close with her right now. But time jades people, so do situations. And I'm not saying that it's too late to do it, but I really wish that I could remember who she was back then in the relationship that we had, because apparently it was really good. And my grandmother, as I said before, is a bit of a witch herself. She's extremely psychic. And when I was born, and the way that I would look at her, my dad would tell me that my grandmother would tell him that he's got it. He is definitely different. My dad was like, I don't want to hear about it. That's your guys' relationship. Leave me out of it. I don't want to know anything about it. Whatever you guys are doing in there, keep it to yourself. He was so scared. But yeah, this wave of energy is making me remember things from my past that are just like things that I need to be aware of as I progress and move forward. But yeah, this medium side of me is really, really kicking into gear. Again, I've always had it, but for some reason, a good majority of my readings this last week have been medium readings. I remember reading this one woman, and her grandmother came through. And I'm not trying to be shitty or be bitchy or whatever, but she would not let me get a word in edgewise when it came to that reading. She was so connected and so happy that somebody was hearing and listening to her. She was apparently Native American, but I kept feeling this woman. She kept interrupting the reading here and wanted me to talk about this, this, and that, and was so excited to make contact with that person that the person on the other end was loving it. And I was like, this is wiping me out. Can we please tune this person out, because they're hijacking the reading? And the woman was laughing. She thought I was joking. I was like, really, let's kind of tone this down a little bit and just get back into the reading here, because if not, I'm going to be listening to her and then I'm going to have to open the door to other people. I know that sounds weird, but that's usually how it comes into play with me. I only want to give a reading for maybe like 5 minutes when it comes to a spirit, because other things will try to jump in or other people will try to make contact. I don't know if it's because the way I envision it, I don't know if it's like a moth going towards a light and they can all feel that I'm open or whatever, but that's what I envision in my mind, is that people are trying to walk towards that light and trying to make contact with me to get to for me to speak on their behalf. And that's exactly what I was feeling during this reading. I was like, let's hurry up and do this. Like, I only feel like I feel like I got like 5 good minutes in me of this medium stuff before other people start to come in and start to feed off the energy. This woman was loving it. Another woman's relative had come in. She was basically telling me that she didn't really believe in psychics or the whole medium thing, and she was here to kind of witness what I was saying and whether or not I was misleading her family member, and was surprised that I was hitting things and I was able to hear her. I brought up things, and I even asked the family member, they're listening to you. Tell me what it is that you want me to tell them, even if it's something small. I can feel you, and I'm telling them that you're here, so say something. And once I got this woman started, she was just going. It was really trippy. It was really weird. I actually felt really, really low afterward, like low energy and completely wiped out, to the point where I guess, you know, part of this universe, you know, or this earth energy that's coming in, I think that had to do with it too. But then the medium stuff came in, wiped me the fuck out. I took a nap like for 2 hours and was just like, I need to chill and just kind of, you know, get back into my zone here. But yeah, this wave of energy and what I'm feeling is so intense. It's definitely bringing out the more of the medium side of me, which I don't mind, except when I'm sleeping. So yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy. I definitely plan on taking a trip to Austin to go visit my dad before the year closes. I feel like I need to reconnect with him and hear some more stories about my past and kind of figure out why my guides are bringing this into my life and wanting me to acknowledge it. I can definitely feel there's a change coming on. Again, I mentioned my friend Lynn and Michelle Prentice, who are my favorite astrologers out there. I do readings with them. I did a really good reading with Michelle Prentice about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we were going over my chart. We were talking about all these things that are coming into play when it comes to me and this heavy energy that's taking taking place. First of all, I don't know how many astrologers are out there, but I have Pluto getting ready to cross over my ascendant this year. My ascendant is at 22 degrees Capricorn. Pluto's 19 degrees Capricorn right now, so it's just right there. I'm definitely feeling the energy of it. I'm also having Uranus come in and conjunct my sun and oppose my midheaven. All this weird energy coming into play. And a lot of people would freak out and be like, oh my God, more challenges, or to let go of and get rid of. It's like, how much more? And a lot of people tend to think that way. I do. I'm not going to lie. I do think of that sometimes. But a good majority of the time, I always tell Michelle, Michelle can vouch for this, and so can my friend Lynn, give me all the hard aspects first. Tell me all the negative shit about these transits and what they're doing to me and why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling, because I can always turn that negative into a positive. Just like when I give people a reading and I talk about, you know, sometimes people have will have a misplaced moon. Virgos, I know you guys are tired of me shitting on you, but let's just pretend that you guys were a Virgo with a Virgo moon. Instead of using that energy to be super critical of yourself or overthinking things, I would use that energy to be a little bit more detailed, to really think outside the box and put things into order or into detail, and use that energy that way. So with all this stuff coming in and all these changes taking place, Pluto crossing over my ascendant and Uranus conjuncting my sun, opposing my midheaven and all that good stuff, it sounds like a lot of all over the place energy, but that is exactly what the fuck I need. If you stop and think about it, I'm always talking shit about how routine I am, how I hate change and how I'm resistant to it. And this is a huge lesson for me, and I welcome it. You guys have no idea all the bullshit that I've been through in the short time that I've been on this planet. I know you usually make fun of my age, but honestly, you guys, I've been through so much fucking bullshit. I am planning to write a book. This book can turn into a movie. That's how fucking crazy my life has been. But again, going back to what I said, taking all the negative and turning it to a positive. So I'm going to utilize this energy for coming into my power, for thinking outside the box, for giving me a different perspective on things, for allowing me the opportunity to receive information from my higher self, and really changing my path here in aligning it with who I truly am and where it is that I need to go. I know a lot of us are feeling this energy and feeling like we're a little bit lost here, but again, I cannot say this enough. Take the time to pull yourself back from the material world. Take the time to pull yourself back from your friends, from your family, from your lovers, and really take the time to do you. Again, it took me till the age of 36 before my guides were like, you are ready to go. Because again, I was stubborn, and they didn't tell me, are you ready to go? Like, okay, this is going to be easy. This was more of like, okay, now it's time to stop the bullshit and start to throw your ass in there, because we've given you X, Y, and Z here, and you're still being lazy. You're still being hesitant. You're still being cautious. And they ripped the living shit out of stuff from my life. When I tell you they ripped everything, again, I've said this over and over again, they have ripped everything out of my life so that way I would have no excuse to not do me. I have no excuse to say, oh, I couldn't do it because I had to do X, Y, and Z, or so-and-so wanted me to do this. No, they said they did that to rip everything out so that I would be solely focused on myself, and I am focused on myself. Am I 100% where I need to be? Absolutely not, but I am slowly but surely getting there, and I'm doing everything in my power to stay afloat and to stay positive and to stay active and to speak my truth and to really practice what I preach here. I can definitely feel the slate being clean for my guides as I'm going through everything here. And my main objective, my main goal here is that once this slate is completely clean, not to taint it with old patterns or old bullshit. I am always telling that to my clients when I'm giving them readings. I'm like, I could pick up this new opportunity coming in. Here's what's going to happen. You're feeling this because this change needs to take place. This is falling off here. They're going to provide you with a clean slate. Don't taint it with your old bullshit. Do not repeat old patterns. Do not fall back and dirty this up here. This is a gift from above. This is what you've been asking for here. Use it to your advantage. Make the best of it. Take full advantage of it. Do what you need to do with it because you have asked for it. You have worked hard for it. Do not fall back. And that's exactly what I do not want to do this time around. I do not want to repeat old patterns. And I am when I say that I am focused on me, I am truly focused on me. I am focused on the lessons that I'm learning. I know what needs to be done. I know what they're referencing. I know what I need to get rid of. And for the most part, all of it is gone. But when it comes to putting myself out there, again, the slate's not fully clean. So when it comes to relationships, as much as I'm saying that I am ready, I am 100% ready for it, but I am not going to settle. If I know in my gut, and trust me, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I have plenty of opportunity to go out there and get laid if I wanted to have a one-night stand or really go into a relationship, even though I know it's not going to work out for the best. I do not want to. I do not want to settle. I do not want to taint that slate, that clean slate they gave me when it comes to relationships and how I feel about them. I don't want to dirty it up with past experiences or bullshit again. So it's not that I'm afraid of rejection. Because I'm not. I don't give a shit about that one materialistic feeling that you're getting of like, everybody deserves a chance. Nope, if I see it and I don't feel it and I know it's a waste of time, I am not going to even bother with it. What's the point of wasting a week of your time for something that you knew originally wasn't going to work? There is no fear of rejection when it comes to me. I just don't want to settle. And I'm not going to put myself out there for mediocre shit or stuff I know that's not going to be long lasting. So again, it's not that I'm operating from a place of fear or that, oh, you know, you're talking about a relationship and you're not doing anything. Honey, I'm waiting for the right one. I don't want to waste my time anymore. The information that I give to people when I give readings, it comes across as very general or very basic or very much like, duh. And my question to them is, if it sounds so basic and it sounds so general and it sounds so duh and you already know this, why the fuck aren't you doing it? Because that is the one thing, the only thing that's holding you back right now in this time and space. Again, I like to talk about what's hindering you from reaching your goal right now. And that is it. You're either codependent or you haven't learned your lesson from the last relationship or you're resistant to change or you're just not willing to take a deeper look at yourself. And the reading that I give mentions all that here. And it's exactly what you know you need to do. You cannot expect somebody to come in here and tell you what you need to be doing. Where is your effort? Where is your part? I am giving you, like I said at the very beginning of the show, I am giving you guidance. I'm giving you insight. How you move and how you take action with it is totally up to you. Everything else will open up for you. Then it's on to the next lesson and you keep going, you keep walking. You're not stagnant. You're not still bumping into the same wall here. So again, if it's general and basic, that's usually what it is. It's usually that, oh wow, that's it type of moment that people are like, I guess I needed to hear it. Now that you've heard it, go do something about it. I just want you to be the best person that you could be. Again, I am all about motivation. I am all about pushing you and kind of guiding you and mentoring you and being your little cheerleader here. But again, you need to play the game. You need to walk. You need to stumble. You need to fall. You need to get back up. You need to do you. I remember being at an event one time. This one guy, he is in the entertainment industry. He pulled me aside and asked me for a reading. I went in on about his personal life and his dating life and how he needed to adjust it and not objectify women or think that having a pretty girl on their arm is the end all be all, that they really needed to do some work within and let go of some of this hatred and bullshit they were holding on to and complete their lessons. This fucker got extremely upset, not at me, but at the guides and the information that was coming in. He wasn't rude or belligerent to me, but he had said, "What do you mean lessons? What more lessons do I have to go through? This is my life. Can't I live it? If I don't want to go through a lesson, I shouldn't have to go through a lesson." You know, my ass fucking took a step back. If I had earrings on, I would have took each one of those fuckers off, rolled my sleeves up, and got in his face, not to fight him, but to shake the shit out of him. I fired back with, "Who the fuck are you to think that you are above learning lessons? That is why you are stuck in the same place and you are the same person, because you think you are above it. And no matter what they put in your way, you are going to shit on it and make a mockery out of it. That is why you're feeling the same way that you do and you look miserable. Nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to grow. Nothing is going to excel until you get right with yourself and start paying attention to what the fuck's going on here. You can't have an easy life. That's just not who you are. You came here to learn lessons, and just like your past life, you want to jump through them. You don't want to take the time to do it, get to know yourself or to play the game here and to really absorb what it is that they're telling you. You just want to jump spaces ahead, be rich, be famous, have a pretty girl on your arm. But at the end of the day, you take that all away and you're still you. You can distract yourself with all these flashy things, but your soul, your essence, your presence is going to catch up to you. Any which way you slice or dice it, it's going to come asking you for shit. And you better be ready to talk back to it. You better be ready to have answers here, because if you don't, you're in a fucking world of trouble. And I still look at that guy. We're not really good friends. We're acquaintances, but I'm taking a real good look at where he's at now and who he is as a person. And he's still the same person. He still is in the same spot. There hasn't been really any good opportunities coming his way. When it comes to his love life, I'm sure he's still dating strippers and things like that. And, you know, fucking around with the wrong type of girl here. Not saying that strippers are the wrong type of girl, but for him, what he's looking for is long lasting. And he's the kind of person that has no problem throwing out a couple of dollars to get their attention. But when there's no money and that's all gone, so are they. They're not, we all know. My stripper friends out there, my escort ladies, we all know the game here, and we know when we've exhausted our resources, it's time to move on. That's exactly where this person's at. But again, refusing to take a real good look at themselves and change anything about them. and I tried my hardest, but can't save the world and you can't save everybody, and no sweat off my back. It's not somebody that eats at my table or shits in my toilet. I dropped the dime. Don't shoot the messenger. That's what I did. That's my job. And he is where he is now because of who he is. So, yeah. I want to take the rest of the episode to go over a couple of emails. People really want me to talk more on my personal life here. You guys, you know, I have a hard time doing that. I would love to talk about it and expose more. I know I've been kind of dirty on here and exposed a little too much, but people want to know about funny things that I've done. One of the stories was I ended up getting really fucked up one night in Burbank. There was this place called Bobby McGee's. Yes, I'm old. It was back in the early 2000s. It's been around for a long time. It's no longer there. It's actually where BJ's and I think Black Angus is at in Burbank, right there, right next to the mall. And it was a weekday, and I went with my really good friend, my best friend at the time, and I had to start work the next day at 6 in the morning, and it was already 2 in the morning, and she was still partying. She didn't want to go. She ended up hooking up with some guy, and I was fucked up. I was like, I need to go home to sleep for at least 2 hours before I go to work the next day. I cannot miss work. I need to go. She was like, fine, take my car. I'll get a ride home from so-and-so. So I get in the car, and I'm like, fuck, I should have peed while I was in the building. And I was like, oh, I'll just fucking drive home. It's just to see me. It's from Burbank to see me. I'll be fine or whatever. Didn't want to pull off on the side of the road to go pee there. I didn't want to pull into a bathroom just in case there was a cop there. You know me, I did not want to risk getting a DUI or anything stupid like that. So I got in the car, got on the 5, and I had to pee so fucking bad. My legs were shaking. They were trembling. I was like, oh my God, I could feel it in my stomach. I was like, I don't know where this idea came from. To me, it made sense. I know I was fucked up, but it made sense to me at the time. I thought, I'm going to pee in my lap a little bit. I'm going to close my legs really, really tight so the pee puddles up between my legs. Girl, when I tell you that I peed all the way from Burbank Boulevard to the 118. So from the 5 to the 118 was a long, steady stream of piss. I was like, I could not stop it. I could not control it. I'm like, oh my God. Remember, I was not even in my own car. I was in my best friend's car. I was like, holy fuck. I was so fucking out of control when it came to it. I could not stop for the life of me. I tried to pinch it off. Nothing. I ended up making a big ass mess. I got home. I walked upstairs. I remember getting naked. I remember waking up and seeing my clothes. I saw my shoes, my socks, my pants, my underwear, my shirt, all leading from the garage entrance all the way upstairs to the front of my room, and I passed out naked. I woke up with the biggest fucking headache, did not make it into work the next day, actually slept until 10 in the morning, didn't even call in to say that I wasn't going to go in, and was like, fuck, got my bearings together, called work, told them that I was really, really sick, that I had just woken up, went to the car to go figure out where the car was at, where I parked it. I parked the car like I was fucking blind in the spot. It was all over the place. It was the middle of July, so it was hot as fuck outside. I went to open that door to the car. This huge cloud of vape came out, and it smelled like piss. I was like, oh my God. I was so scared. My best friend was a Leo at the time, and she was such a fucking bitch. She definitely held me accountable for shit. I was like, oh my God, I need to go get the car washed. I went to the car wash place to go get it washed, and I got the outside washed. I asked if they can clean the upholstery. They said it was going to be like $75 to $80. I was like, I don't fucking have that much. I put newspapers all over that bitch. I Febrezed it as much as I could, put air freshener on it. Try to take the car back unnoticed to her and be like, oh, here's your car. Thank you for going. Thank you for letting me take it. You know, she gets in the car and she was like, did you pee in the car? And I was like, why? It smells like piss in here. I got busted. I ended up having to tell her the truth. She was so fucking pissed. But yeah, that was one of the funny stories that took place with me. So here's another funny one. This has to do with a demon. And again, I know that I was, this is going to come across as being bad, and it's going to come across as like, God, you were so horrible, Chris. But growing up, I've said this over and over again, I am the same person as far as my attitude in the way that I talk and the way that I present myself as a child. People used to trip out on it. My dad would trip out on it. My mom would trip out on it. And I have, again, my manipulation skills were on point even as a child. Again, it was a great defense mechanism, but I used to terrorize the living shit out of my cousins and family members. Especially when I would stay over at my dad's, because I've told you before, I am a daddy's boy. I can do no wrong in my dad's eye. I can shit on the lawn or shit on his shoe right in front of him, and he would have no problem with it and say that somebody else did it. That's how much of a daddy's boy that I am. And I would use that to my advantage growing up. And so I would terrorize my older cousin, who I considered a brother. He was 2 years older than me. And he would, we used to call my dad's house jail, because that's where we would all get sent when we did something bad. I started gangbanging at a young age, like I'd say, well, at least want to be gangbanging around the age of like 13, 12, 13, getting into that whole thing. And my cousin was 2 years ahead of me, and he was full-blown gangster. He was involved in a gang and led that kind of a lifestyle, would always get into trouble. And so whenever I would get in trouble, my mom would get pissed. She would say, "You're going to your father's house for the weekend." And my dad would come pick us up. My dad lived in Palmdale, and my cousin lived in North Hollywood, and I lived in Simi. So my dad would come pick me up or go pick up my cousin first, then drive out to Simi, and then we'd all drive back out to Palmdale. And my dad would drive in this one truck that had like a camper shell in the back, and we'd be sitting in the back. And I would always make fun of it and tell my cousin, "This is like the fucking chain to jail. Like, this is like the bus to jail. This is where you get in, and we know that we're going to be dropped off in jail, and that we're going to have chores to do and be confined at the house and having to follow rules and structure." And we would laugh about it. And in the back of the car, I would torment the living shit out of him. He was from one gang, and I would claim to be from another gang. And those two gangs didn't get along, and I would use it to my advantage and talk shit about the gang that my cousin was from and call him a fake, a fraud, a pussy, all this stuff. And it took everything in him, because I was going at his manhood and his pride and going at him. Again, here's the demon coming into play, and would really pick on his insecurities. He would try to lunge at me from the other side of the truck to beat my fucking ass. He would tell me, "Shut the fuck up. You're fucking working it. You're getting on my fucking nerves. I'm going to punch you in the fucking mouth. Shut up." And I'd be like, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And I'd be like, "Dad." And my dad would be like, "What's going on back there?" And I'll say, "Nothing." I said, "I'm thirsty. Can we stop at the gas station and get something?" And my cousin would look at me and be like, "You fucking bitch." And I would tell him, "You pussy," and just keep going at him and do shit like that. My dad would drop us off at the house and be like, "Okay, I want you guys to get your chores fucking done. I'm going to be back," whatever. He would go score, get some weed, or do whatever the fuck he was doing, and we'd be left alone in the house. That was full reign for me. I would mess up the house. I remember one time I'd gotten a thing of baking soda, opened it up, poured it all over the carpet, and told my cousin, "Clean it, fucker." And he was like, I don't know how he had so much self-control, because he doesn't have that much self-control to begin with. He is an Aries. I think he's a double Aries, so he does not fuck around. I don't know how he had so much control not to beat the fuck out of me. I remember one time he did grab me by the throat and throw me up against the wall, and you would think that I'd be scared and be like, "Oh my God, oh my God." I looked right at him and said, "Do it. Do it." And I said, "I hope to God there's a mark on my neck, because I'm going to show my dad." And he like would drop me and be like, "God damn it." He would cry out of frustration and anger. That's me. That's the shit that I used to do as a kid. And I'm sure that he would love to beat the hell out of me now. I love him very much to this day. But yeah, that's the kind of bastard that I was. I would really, really torment everybody and really go the extra mile to make people feel uncomfortable. I remember I had this one cousin who was way younger than me. He's like 8 years younger. I told this to somebody else. I think it was Christina that I told the story to. But remember that pizza company off of Home Alone that he orders from, Little Nero's? Well, for those of you that know that movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But I used to babysit him. I was like 16 at the time, and his mother would call me to babysit him. And I would have to go all the way out to Canyon Country, get in the car, drive out there to go babysit him. And she'd be gone for the weekend, so I had the whole weekend with him. But I would torment the shit out of him. I said, "Your mother left us money to order pizza. Let's order some food now." And he's like, "Okay, great. What do you want to order? Domino's, Pizza Hut?" And I was like, "No, let's order Little Nero's." And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's order Little Nero's. I'm craving it. I just saw Home Alone the other day, and I want that pizza. It looks so good." And he was like, "But that's from a movie, and it's fake." And I said, "A movie's not going to have fake stuff in it. They had Pepsi on there. That kid was drinking a Pepsi. That's real. Little Nero's has to be real. Call 411. 411 back in the day was the number for information. I don't know if you guys know that, but you used to call it and it'd be like city enlisting, and then you would tell them the city that you were in and the place that you wanted to look up, and they would dial it up for you. And he was like, "They're not going to have it. It's fake." I said, "Call them. It is not fake. Go do it." And he would get on the phone, and I'd be dying. I mean, it took everything in me not to fucking roll over and laugh like a fat pig. I would be in the other room hearing him dial the phone up and him thinking out loud to himself, "I don't want to do this. I know that he's fake. I know that he's trying to fool me. I don't want to do this. He's making me do it." And I'd say, "I don't hear you on the phone yet." And he would like lose his shit. You could hear him rustling with the phone, and he finally dialed 411, and they asked him city enlisting, and he's like, "Santa Clarita." And he's like, "Can I get the number for Little Nero's?" And they were like, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" And he's all, "Little Nero's." And they were like, "There's no listing for Little Nero's." And he was like, "They said they don't have one." I said, "Ask to speak to a supervisor or a manager. I know they have it there. They don't know what they're talking about." Shit like that I used to do. Or with this same cousin too. He did not trust me as far as he could throw me. He used to call me a black cat. I remember one time he was working on a science project. He had gotten to be just a little bit older, and I babysat him again. And he was working on a science project. He was one of those. He's a Virgo, believe it or not, but a male Virgo. And he would try to be by himself and try to be very, you know, quiet and read his books. And he was the kind of kid that was in the, I don't know if it's called Mathletes, so it's just like on Mean Girls. I used to make fun of him. I was like, I don't know anybody that wants to go to school on a fucking Saturday, but here you are on a fucking Saturday going to school. He was one of those people. I was like, I didn't understand the logic in it because I was not really good when it came to school. And he was working on that science project, and they had him use pasta, like spaghetti strands. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, why? And I was like, I don't know. I just want to help out. God, don't be so mean to me. I just woke up. And he's like, well, I'm working on my science project for school. And that's all that I'm doing. And it doesn't really require two people. It just requires me to do it by myself. And I said, I know, but I want to help out. I feel bad for always fucking with you and doing these mean things. I just want to show that I want to be a team player, and I want to help out with your science project. I want you to get an A on it. So can I help out? He's like, you do? You really want to help out? I said, yes, I'm sorry. Come on, let's do this. And I was like, what do I do? I'm so excited to do this. And he goes, well, you're going to get those spaghetti strands. You're going to hold them together while I glue them. He said, but be really careful because they break easily. He said, and we don't have a lot to work with. We just have that one box of spaghetti. This fucker should never have told me that there was one box of spaghetti left. Just one, no more, because that's all I needed to hear. And I was like, okay, I got it. I was like, okay, I'm so excited to do this. And I sat there and I pretended to be this big dumb girl, and I'm holding the spaghetti noodles for him. And he's like, okay, I'm getting ready to glue it. You ready? He's like, just hold it with just your index finger and your thumb. Move your other fingers out of the way because I got to glue it. I said, okay, Saul, but be careful. I said, okay. He starts to glue it. And before you know it, snap. And I was like, oh, wow, these are really as delicate as you said they were. They're super fucking, they break easily. He's like, I know, that's why I told you not to hold it so fucking hard. He's trying not to lose his shit. He's like, come on, we only have this one box of spaghetti to work with. That is it. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Don't yell at me. You're going to make me nervous. I'm going to break the whole fucking box. I was like, I really want to do this. I really want to show you that I mean well. And he's like, okay, he's like, stop fucking around. He spoke to me that way, seriously. And I do it again. I grab the spaghetti and I hold it again. And I was like, okay, don't yell at me because you're going to make me break this. And he's like, okay. He's like, hold it steady. And I was like, okay. And he went to go put the glue on it. And when he went to put the tip of the glue bottle on it, I moved the spaghetti up so he broke it with the glue bottle. And I was like, and I looked at him and I was like, and he looked at me and he goes, you did that on purpose. And I said, I wasn't holding the glue bottle. You were holding the glue bottle. You're the one that broke it. He saw, get out of here. He's like, you fucking bitch. He lost his shit. This is like, he must have been like 13 at the time, or maybe 11. I don't know. He was still super young and he's cussing his brains out. To see a Virgo explode is art. I mean, you get really articulate with your words and very descriptive and very into the shit that you're talking. And he went balls deep. He was like, I should have fucking known better, you fucking bitch. You started coming in here with your tail wagging. I knew that you were up to something. I should have just stayed away from you, blah blah blah. One last story that I'll jump off it because you guys are gonna think I'm horrible. And to you dog lovers out there, turn this off right now. I didn't kill a dog. I didn't do anything mean to it, but you guys are going to think I'm super horrible for this. I'm feeling myself on this one. It's Sagittarius season, so I'm going to be a little bit out there and a little bit more dramatic, and here we go. He ended up doing that stupid math thing again, and I went to go drop his dumb ass off there at the high school or the junior high, and he had asked me, he's like, can you take my dog Princess out for a walk? This fucking dog was the mangiest fucking dog I've ever seen. There was nothing princess about it, so I agreed to do it. I was like, all right, I'll take the dog for a walk. So as I'm walking the dog fucking hates my guts because it knows that I like to torment its owner or whatever. Usually I get along with dogs very well. So I go out and I walk the dog and I put the dog back in the house, and by this time it's already time to go pick his dumb ass up from the school. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna fuck with him good. This is the last story, and I'm sorry, you guys, I'm done. And so I grab the leash. And I put the leash in the car and I go pick him from school, and he's like, oh, what's Princess's leash doing in the car? And I was like, oh, we'll talk about it when we get home. And he's like, what's the matter? And I was like, we'll just talk about it when we get home. And I'm pretending to shake in the car and I'm pretending to be nervous. And he's like, I'm not liking the sound of this. What's going on? And I'm like, just we need to talk at home. I don't want to do it in the car while I'm driving. I don't want to get emotional. And he's like, and he can tell that he's panicking. So we pull up to the house. It's like literally 2 blocks from his house. I don't know why his fat ass didn't walk, but I went to go get him. And we pull up to the house, and I said, we're sitting in the driveway, and I was like, I need to tell you something. And he's like, what? And I'm like, you know how you asked me to walk that stupid dog? And he's like, yes. And I was like, well, you know, the fucking dog hates me and it tries to run away every time I put the leash on it and it tries to bite at me. I said, and I thought I would take the leash off before we got in the house so he could run inside the house. So she could run inside the house. I said, as soon as I took the leash off, the bitch bolted and took off. I said, and I haven't been able to find her. I said, I don't know where the fuck she's at. And he's like, what? And I was like, yeah. I said, please don't be mad at me. Please, please, please. And he's like, you lost my fucking dog. And I was like, yeah, you know. I said, why would you give me that much responsibility? You know how stupid I am and how I fuck things up. This is your fault. He is bawling at this point. He's crying. He's like, that's my best friend. That's my best friend. I look at him and I'm not going to lie, you guys. I did feel bad. Just like you guys are probably feeling bad right now. I was like, I'm just kidding, you big sissy. I didn't really lose the dog. That was me. Those are funny stories. That's how I used to be. That's my personality, my sense of humor. I still like to joke around with people. I'm still always doing shit to people like Jay. Jay will be walking up the stairs and I'll grab the back of his ankle and make him trip as he's walking up the stairs, or step on a stupid robe while he's walking and get him to trip. I do stupid shit like that. It's all fun and games. I love that kind of sense of humor. So when I get involved in a relationship, that's exactly what it's going to be about. And that's what I want it to be about. I want there to be fun games like that. I want shit to be talked. I want to not necessarily sleep with one eye open, but I just want that level of comedy in the relationship. So that is me. That is this show. I know I'm all over the place. Yet again, I keep saying that at the end of every episode, but it's true. I just wanted time to kind of do you guys justice and kind of talk about random things today. I didn't really follow any type of topics. I just wanted to adjust last week's episode and tell you the meaning behind all that. Didn't want to go too hard on this episode. Didn't want to go too hard on that episode and hurt people's feelings or come across as being hateful or malicious or finger pointing in a very bully type way. I'm just exposing the fakes, the phonies, and the frauds and trying to keep it as real as I can possibly do. And I know that you guys appreciate that, and there's some of you that don't appreciate it. Well, that's your own fucking bullshit and your own insecurity. I am not here for that, and neither are the people that I fuck with. So go do you, and we'll do us. But yes, anybody that's looking for a reading, wanting more insight, wanting to find out what their true path is and what's holding them back in this lifetime so they can get over it and accomplish it, hit me up for a reading. Let's get a half an hour in. I love those hour-long readings, but usually a half an hour does people justice and you're able to go. Sign up for a reading at chrismedina.guide. Again, half-hour readings, chrismedina.guide. If you need a full-hour reading, no problem with that as well. Also hit me up, chrismedina.guide. If you want to take a quick look at what I look like, get a better idea of who I am as a person, feel free to visit my social media pages, at Psychic Chris M. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And for those of you that want to submit ideas for the show, want to be read on the show, want me to read people that you know on the show, or just have ideas, or just basically want to say hi, please hit me up. askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com for submissions, ideas, wanting to be read, all that good stuff. Please reach out. I love reading all my emails, even if they're just saying hello. You guys mean so much to me. Thank you for all the love and support. This is Chris Medina for In Your Head Podcast, signing off.